Off the Ball, GAA.
Reportedly that Brian Fenton has retired. The thing is, he's just 31. While he may be just 31, it's a decade, an unbelievable decade with the Dubs.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Did I say Brian Barry Murphy is with us to reflect on a very one-sided game yesterday at Anfield. Good morning to you, Brian. How are you getting on?
Morning, George. Morning, Colin.
Hiya.
You were at it. Was it as one-sided? Did it feel as one-sided there as it did on the telly?
If anything, George, probably even more so. I mean, I've never experienced a game that reflected the atmosphere in the stadium from the start. It was ferocious, incredible. The intensity from the stands just transmitted itself onto the pitch, and City couldn't breathe. I wrote down after 25 minutes was the first time they had a sustained spell in Liverpool's half. And for a game of that magnitude, for a team like that, I think it's a real shock to the system of those players. And that's kind of what's happening to them at the moment. And there was a spell after half time where it went a little bit quiet, and City looked to impose themselves on the game. And again, the atmosphere ramped up around the 55th minute, and before you knew it, Salah was through on goal and missed that chance. But from there on in, it was a matter of how many, really. And there was never any sort of expectancy from anybody in the stadium that the result was going to be anything different.
It feels like, Brian, any set of players that take to the field now for Manchester City are probably going to underperform. But what were your thoughts on the starting 11 that Pep Guardiola chose?
Yeah, I was surprised. I think when you're in this type of run, again, far be it for me to tell like the greatest manager who's ever lived what he should or shouldn't be doing. But I think the tendency is always to be looking for a different solution and to try and find the right formula. But it just didn't work. And I mean, Rico Lewis, I had in the academy, and he played on the right wing and kind of came inside, but he's essentially a fullback. And on the other side, Matheus Nunes, it just didn't work. And you could argue, no matter who they played, it would have been a difficult game. And it always has been for City there, for my time there. But it just didn't work. And combined with how good the home team were, it was an impossible task from the off. And you probably saw when Kevin De Bruyne came on and Jack Grealish came on, there was more of a familiar look to that attacking section of the team. But it was too little too late, and the game was long gone by then.
We've seen Guardiola experiment, maybe is the wrong word, but definitely try something left field in a high-profile game before. We've seen it almost countless number of times, really, in his tenure at the club. But that's generally when they're playing well, because most of the time they have, but they're in this crisis now. And I was just trying to wonder, what was Pep trying to get out of the midfield that he chose to start the game with Nunes on the left and Lewis on the right, with Bernardo in the middle? It felt incredibly open on paper, and in the first 15 minutes was a total obliteration.
Yeah, and I imagine, again, I'm speculating, but I imagine the theory would have been that with Matheus Nunes, who's a central midfield player, in essence playing wide, and with Rico on the other side, it would have been for the element of reliability to kind of contain the opponents and grow into the game and give some sort of stability to a team that's been struggling defensively. But of course, the reality is, once the game started, Liverpool were so intense. You know, just like I said, they couldn't breathe and they could never get up the pitch. And Erling was essentially starved of any sort of service to provide a counter-attacking threat. And it was a very difficult game for them. I think if you're Liverpool, I don't know what's going on in the background, but the likes of Grealish and Kevin, when they're on the pitch, they still carry an element of respect and fear. And during the game, it just didn't feel as if that was there from the opponents based on how Liverpool faced them.
Would you have started De Bruyne and Grealish?
Absolutely. But I think he's definitely not happy with something, because I don't know if it's Kevin's fitness or what he's doing, because you know he just hasn't played any sort of football. And I think there is a point here where the players who are coming back, Ruben Dias, Kevin De Bruyne, previously in previous seasons, they were always coming back into a team who was winning games seamlessly, and they could almost get fit on the job, as it were. At the moment, they're coming back in and almost being, Ruben especially yesterday, expecting to kind of solve all the problems in one instant. That's a very different dynamic to what has gone on previously, and a very different challenge. And at the moment, it's proving too big of a challenge based on how much change there is in that lineup every single game.
We've seen City really struggle at Anfield over the years. I think the only time Pep Guardiola's won there with Man City was in 2021, and there was no crowd there because of COVID. But was this was this a particular struggle yesterday? Did you see something different in City's performance yesterday versus previous seasons at Anfield?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how to accurately convey the feeling in the stadium. I've never been in a place like that. I said it to Nathan. I said, how do you convey this on a commentary to the people at home of what it's feeling like? If there was any thought of complacency in terms of Liverpool and what they expected from the game, from when the teams lined up on the pitch, you couldn't hear anything. They were just exploding, the supporters. And the first challenge went in, and it was like a volcano went off. And I know that the likes of Pep and Mikel Arteta are they're very believing in certain arenas, having a real spiritual feeling. And that place is just different. That's why he's always respected or feared it so much. And you referenced the COVID game. That's the only time they've had any sort of respectful performance and result there. So, I mean, at the best of times, it's proved a challenge. And yesterday, it was too much for that team in that moment to be competitive. And it really was as one-sided as... not as the scoreline suggested. It could have been much, much worse. If Virgil van Dijk's header went in at 2-0, you were fearing the worst, and it could have become a very uncomfortable afternoon scoreline-wise. I think they'll be aware they got off lightly on the scoreline.
At what point does this become a real problem for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City? I mean, you just have to imagine he's going to change this around very soon. But are we at the stage now, Brian, where it's a crisis and Pep's future has to be considered, or is that way too premature?
No, I think it won't happen. So like it won't happen. He'll see this as an opportunity to do something different and to now rebuild the squad and change the dynamic completely, which he probably now would think he probably wished he'd done earlier. But I think he'll see this as the new contract's being signed and it's a chance to evolve the squad and move it forward. That's probably why you're going to see this dynamic of Ederson being dropped yesterday, which is quite a big call based on how long he's been there and what he's done, and probably this ongoing thing with Kevin, who's not playing, and Jack isn't really playing any significant minutes. And I think you'll start to see over the course of the next two transfer windows, that squad will evolve pretty quickly, and he's very decisive once he gets his mind set on something. And I wouldn't be surprised to see certain players who've been talked about moving on over the last 12 to 18 months move on quite quickly.
Can I ask you about the actual shape of the team? When you named the team the way you did, one of the functions of having a central midfielder who isn't actually playing in central midfield is that everything narrows down a bit and there's no width. We traditionally would have assumed that or spoken about all the way back to the tiki-taka that width was less important in many respects to Guardiola, but in recent seasons it seems as if he's tried to make the pitch as wide as possible, and that's where the pockets of space for a De Bruyne or a Foden came from. But yesterday it was the complete opposite of that. It was like purposefully, or maybe not purposely, but certainly everything narrowed.
Yeah, I don't think Jerry, it was purposely, but it definitely didn't work. No matter what we did previously there was always two wingers who would stand on the touchline. And that's changed where they've become narrowed off. And yesterday, when Rico played on that side, Kyle just never got forward. And it just didn't work. And one of the, I suppose, constants in the Guardiola team has always been those players who play 7 and 11. And it's never changed. But there just was no one on the touchline yesterday. And as such, Liverpool were really compact and it aided that intensity. They just turned the ball over multiple times in that central zone. And Gravenberch was so effective. I mean, I counted 6 regains in the middle of the pitch yesterday. And it just created that wave of momentum that never allowed City to get out of their own half, really.
The theory should have been, I guess, that an extra body in there is going to give you fight and a bit of aggression and make sure that Liverpool don't have any time to do anything. Is that why you pick an out-of-position central midfielder to play on the left side? Or and also maybe to counteract Trent?
Yeah, I think so. But I think... I think in theory, I was discussing this with Nathan at the game. In theory, there was loads of build-up situations where normally City would find that spare player, but like it was a Kanji, and he's not a specialist holding midfield player. Or the ball would go to Matheus Nunes, and he would take the ball off the pitch. But it just didn't work. And I think they're at a crossroads where they're trying to find a solution to the Rodri situation. But no matter what he does at the moment, be it playing Gundogan and Bernardo or putting a Kanji in there, Just at this stadium, finding that player in space is fine in theory. But like Cullen referenced, we haven't been able to do it in the previous seasons. And to do it here yesterday was just too much of a challenge. And by the time the ball went to that player who was supposedly free, they were all over him. Like, and by the time Gravenberch would win the ball back, you were releasing the ball to Salah and to Gakpo and to Luis Diaz, who were just like flying at it. What was a vulnerable back four, but I fell for the back four yesterday because I thought they were really exposed. And it was such a difficult challenge for them at this time.